Welcome to Conscious Communication, the podcast that can help you improve your company's culture and better your team's communication, helping you build more significant relationships. Now here's your host, Philip Bogolub.
I have the privilege and honor of talking with Diana Chaloux-Lisseux. I've tried it.
Nailed it.
All right. Yeah. She's just being nice. Diana is the co-owner and CEO of Hitch Fit Gyms. Hitch, like the movie, H-I-T-C-H, as well as Soul Fit Retreats. She blends her love of fitness and business knowledge to help people succeed in their personal and professional lives. Super important. That's why she's constantly communicating. We don't have people on this show just because. This is how they're consciously communicating from the inside out. Her latest book titled Business of Your Body, I love that, touches on many important discussion points, but I'm not going to start talking about it. She'll talk about that when we get to that part. Thank you for being on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. I'm going to ask you, what was that serendipity? What was that accident? What was that coincidence? You just wake up one morning, I'm like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get all this fit stuff going. I'm going to do these retreat things. I'm going to do all this belief system. You didn't just go, what was that thing? And I'm sure there's a lot. But what comes to mind that you kept trying something else, but it just pushed you that way, that spirit, that angel, that guide, that faith, it's like, you've got to go this way because you're not complete unless you do it.
I feel like for me, I had a moment. There's kind of two moments. There's the moment that I realized that like this fitness and this journey and this path was the way I was supposed to go in my life. And then there was the moment that I realized I had to really take it seriously for myself personally, if I wanted to actually be successful with what I was trying to teach other people. So I'll tell you that very first moment was, I would say, I kind of had this moment that the words, what are you waiting for, were said to me at two different times in my life. And one was, I was thinking about doing fitness classes. I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And there was nothing that really held my attention. Like it was kind of like, oh, this is interesting. But there was nothing that I was like so laser focused on that it just captivated my attention. And I was thinking of taking a fitness class, and I had a friend say, what are you waiting for? And I was like, what am I waiting for? And I went and did like my first certification. And it was the first time in my life that I sat in a room for a couple of days and was so absorbed in what was being taught. And I craved more and I wanted more. And I was like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, because there's never been a topic that was so fascinating to me that I could just sit there and just listen to it and want more and want to figure out more. So that was kind of the moment that I realized, like, this is going to be my path. But I wasn't taking care of my own health. The exercise piece was good for me, but up until 2005, and I was even working as a personal trainer, I was not taking my personal health seriously enough to change my nutrition habits. I was engaging in emotional binge eating behaviors. I just had really unhealthy eating habits. So I was gaining weight, even though I was exercising and supposedly a trainer helping other people lose weight. I couldn't get it under control myself. So July 5th of 2005 is what I call my Independence Day, because on the 4th of July, I had gone out and eaten McDonald's, I'd eaten ice cream, I drank a bunch of beer, and then I come into the gym to teach people how to be healthy. And I felt, I felt disgusting and I felt like a fraud. I had always these dreams of being being a fitness competitor. And I saw these women in the magazines and I wanted to do that. And again, one of the other trainers at the gym said to me that day, Diana, like, I see you want to do fitness competitions. And he said, what are you waiting for? And again, I was like, I have no answer for that question. And I literally changed my entire life that day. I have not turned back. It's been July of this year will make it 19 years since I kind of had that aha moment.
Right.
And I literally started taking my habits more seriously. I hired my own coach to help teach me with the nutrition pieces. And then when I brought everything together and then was able to get my body to change physically, and which impacted me mentally and in all these other ways, I was like, whoa, like, this is what I needed. Now I can actually help people. Before, it was kind of like, I could take you through a workout. Now I'm like learning the tools so I actually can help people take them through their own transformations too. So That was the day for me. And I know a lot of people go through like a weight loss journey and then they go right back to where they started from. It's 19 years later for me, and I won't go back to that, but it's because it started here. And it was such a powerful aha moment that I'm like, I'm never going back there, because now I know what it's like on this side and I want to stay on this side.
Yes. Yes.
So all of those habits and those disciplines that it takes to get there and stay there, so, so worth it for me. And it's been an incredible life. And I am eternally grateful that I had those moments that led me on this path. My life would look very differently if I had not just had the moment, but then also took the actions afterwards too.
Bingo. You just hit another one. You hit a lot of points. I couldn't get them all down. Very well said. And thank you for explaining that, because sharing these things with the audience and all these shows is to make people aware that we're all the same. The story's a little different, feeling better, a little better, a little worse, a little better, a little worse. But it's always, it's just the same outcome. And one of the things is you made a commitment. And so first I want to go over, and now in this system, it's about the universal mind. I call it God. You call whatever you want, Karat, Krishna, whatever, it doesn't matter. And I believe in universal mind, the spirit guide, and the angels, which comes as threes to your life, giving you serendipity, accident, coincidences. Everybody kept going, what are you waiting for? That was your serendipity, accident, coincidence. And opens up the discovery, awakening, transformation, open up your ajna, your soul knowledge of your soul, your purpose of your life, gives you an image on the screen of your mind or words or a feeling going, ah. So it keeps going. So those things, those coincidence, serendipities, accidents keep happening, and we don't take them seriously enough. We just like, well, yeah, whatever. I'll think about that another time. And you just had somewhere in your soul that you knew, this is the place for me to go. And you said, okay, I'm going to make a commitment for this. Because one of the most important things, I want you to talk about that. I want what you're doing to explain to people. I don't care what it is, whether it's fitness, whether it's your job, whether it's your relationship, it's everything in your life. It takes effort. Now, I don't like a lot of words. The connotations are bad, but it's not really effort. I think commitment is a much better word that you used. It's commitment. But how can you come up to somebody, whether it's a video call or live and in person, or even on a phone, how can you say you need to stick with this? Because human beings are habit and routine machines. We just go from, you know, like you said, with the diets or what's the thing, you know, if you go from one relationship to the other and it keeps on being bad, it's not the other person, it's you. So how do you talk with somebody or make them aware? I mean, people are aware. They just don't want to, I don't know if they want to admit it. It's hard to go through something. But once you get over that, and you stated that also, which is so important, once you did that and then you look back, it's like with my mindfully immersive system. I know what I do. It's two minds, conscious, subconscious, imaginational, transformational. And it has to do with magnetic fields. It has to do with alternating current, frequency modulation, all these things. And I realize I'm teaching that at a Good Sam Health Club out here where I'm at. And I do that in meditation classes now. And people are getting it. And when I'm doing it, I'm getting it more. Then when you look back and you go, you know, something comes up that's negative in your life, like, you know that I'm like, I'm going to use my process and procedures to get that back on track, because I don't want to go back to that. I can't live like that. How did I even do that? So how do you tell somebody, I know it's a lot in there, but how do you tell somebody that, or how do you help them out to keep it not just a habit or routine, but a way of life?
It's really, I think that's probably the biggest challenge that we face. And we've worked with, my husband and I, all the businesses together, we've literally worked with thousands of people over the last 15 years. And we've seen many people that they go through, it's a temporary change. They'll change their habits for a short period of time. And then they'll go back. And 15 years ago, after I went through it, I thought everybody would be like me. I thought everybody is going to go through this and feel amazing and then never want to go back to what they were before.
Right.
You know, I was, you know, 30 something years old. Like, well, I was 27 when I went through that first transformation. So, you know, I'm thinking, man, this is amazing. Everybody's going to want to do this and completely change their lives. And so over the years of just, oh, like, no, that's not like a lot of people. That's not probably the majority of people.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of people will do a discipline for a short period of time. And then whatever is their mindset or their heart set or their default settings, I call it their default settings, they're going to go back to whatever the default settings are. So what I know now is that if we don't change our default settings, then the long term, then eventually we're going to resort back to the default. So for me, I believe why it's 19 years later and it's like, it's just, I'm, that's just not me. Like I have, I'm so ingrained, but it's because of who I believe I am. It's what I say after the words I am. Like I am a fit and healthy person. And I claim that as part of my identity. You know, I believe it's how God created me to be. I believe it's who he created me to be. And so I claim it so much that even when there are challenges and crises, like, because we hear all the excuses, well, this happened and this happened and this happened. And so therefore I'm like, whatever happens, whatever your default is what you go to. So it's not that we've had 19 years and there's never been crises and there's never been, you know, traumatic things and hard things to go through and, you know, and travel, fun things. It's not that those things have not been a part of my life too, but my default setting is that I'm a healthy person. And it doesn't mean perfection. It doesn't mean, oh, I never, but it means I know who I am. And so I know how I'm going to act. I know what I'm going to choose in the situations in my life. And I know what I'm not going to choose. Like, I just have a set of rules of like, you know, even when I go out to eat, I'm not going to get a plate of fried food. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not that I'm not going to have meals that are not my normal. I will absolutely do that because that's part of a balanced life. But I know who I am. And so that's the piece that's what we have to change. But it's also, I say that knowing it's a very hard thing to change because a lot of people maybe don't want to do the work that it takes to figure out what the default setting is, to find out what the cause of the default setting is. Because for a lot of people, it may be pain, it may be trauma, it may be fear, it may be abuse that they went through. There's all of these things that form our default setting. So it is hard work to try to get, like we do, we try so hard, but it's like, man, there's so many walls that have to be taken down and things broken down for people to really be successful for that long term.
Very well said. All of it. Show's over. It's you know, the default setting is interesting. Couple notes here. So when you default something on a computer, it doesn't work. You have to reload the software. You have to reboot the computer. Well, our computers and our phone, all our electronics reflect our minds. So why can't we do it inside? Because it's easier to do it on the outside for somebody else than it is in the inside for ourselves. So I call it being comfortable, being uncomfortable, and something you're familiar with. Bad job, bad relationship. Everybody can relate to that at some point in their life, right? So you're comfortable being uncomfortable. So instead of going, I have the two hourglasses in this system, and it's like the one is the conscious, the one is subconscious, informational, transformational. And the conscious mind is all the stuff we do normally, keep us safe. You don't run in the middle of the street and go, what's that thing coming at me? You get hit by a car. You don't jump off the building forgetting gravity. It keeps you safe, but also gives you lots of limitations, lots of limitations. And breaking it down can help. But the problem is it can be, and you're right, can be very scary because you break it down going, ooh, I didn't know about, ooh, I didn't see that. And then you just pull back again. You go comfortable being uncomfortable, something you're familiar with. You got to get to that default setting and reset it. And I think what you were saying is the way I interpret it is give it time. Give it a little time. You know, this idea of like, I became a millionaire in 5 minutes. I'm the most successful person. Horse hockey. It doesn't exist. People think, I mean, I always say the example of Apple. Apple was going out of, I remember Apple. Apple was going out of business for like 10 to 20 years. They're going out of business. They're going to, they didn't make any money for a long time. And now they're huge. So I'm not saying you go down the same road, but it's everything in life. That business reflects everything. Nothing happens. It's like relationships. It's jobs. If you loved a job at one point, love yourself out of it. Go get something else. But find out that default setting and hit it hard. Another thing I wanted to bring up was if those things didn't come into your life for the health and fitness stuff, God doesn't give you things that you can't accomplish. It's just not giving you a thing going, you know, Phil, I want you to be a brain surgeon. I'm like, oh, I don't think so. First of all, I got to have hair on the brain. I don't have any hair. But no, I can't do it. I can't do what you do. You can't do what I do. The whole idea is these serendipity, accidents, coincidences, these spiritually connected things are there for a reason. And the people I talk to on the show, it's all about where it comes from the inside out. I don't want to know about this. I don't want to know. What I want to know is where you came from, where this whole thing inspired you to inspire others to hear this going. If one person that's listening to the show says, I've been thinking about X, not fitness, but I think about, I can relate to what Diana is talking about. That's all that matters. Something I say, or what doesn't matter. It's just amazing. So it's, and again, I go back to it. If you didn't have those things in your life, keep pushing you. What was that? What are you waiting for? I love that. And that the second time, you didn't need to be bopped on the head like the Three Stooges 15 times. Like, I think there's a point to this. And you just like, okay, fine, I'll go down that road. I want to go back to something you talked about a little bit earlier. It starts in the mind. Because the body's not on its own. It's the mind where it starts. And this is all about the mind. A lot of this, that's the whole thing about the soul knowledge of your soul, it's about your mind. If you're getting up in the middle of the night, it's not your body waking up, it's your mind waking up. And then when you're waking up with all those bad phrases, stress, anxiety, I call them, I always forget the term, spiritually guided detours. I think all things that are happening, I don't care how bad or good it is, they're spiritually guided detours because I've gone through my stuff in your life just like you have. You said the ups and downs. But how do you, you've got to change that mindset. You've got to, however you do it, how do you teach somebody to do that? That it's beyond the physical body of strength. It's the more the health club of the mind is the mindful strength.
So a couple of things like that has to change for if like it literally is the core. It's the foundation of anything else being able to change because our entire lives are a product of our thought life, you know? So if a couple of things that I have people do, it's like, how can we change something if we don't know what it is to begin with? Because a lot of people don't even, it's like our thoughts are things and they're something that we can think about our thoughts. We can see them coming in and then we get to decide, like, we literally can decide, do I want to continue thinking this or do I want to change this? But a lot of people let thoughts just, they let them run rampant. They let them do whatever they want to do. They let them go wherever they want to go. And so it's learning how to control them, like how to notice them first off, instead of just responding to whatever they are. So there's a lot of awareness stuff that has to be done. So journaling is a really big one that I will have people do, is just free thought journaling. Like you're not trying to make complete sentences even necessarily. It's something that I do personally. Oh, I have stacks and stacks and stacks of journals. And it's just how, and it doesn't have to make sense to anybody else. And it may jump from topic to topic all over the time. Yeah, that's what I personally do.
Right.
But I see a lot of things. I can always look back and see how I was thinking or what was I thinking about a situation? What was I thinking about myself in those situations? So I encourage people to just journal, you know, about their thoughts, about how they feel about themselves. Like, what are they saying to themselves? What are they saying after their I am? Like, what are they writing after that? When they think about something they want to achieve in life, what comes after that? So it's like, if you're saying, if you're talking about a fitness goal, if I want to lose whatever, 50 pounds, then what? Like, what's coming after that? Is it a butt? Is it a butt, this, or I'm too, I call it the big butt, the terrible twos, which is I'm too old, I'm too fat, I'm too overweight, or the negative knots. So those are kind of my three that I have them take a look at, is like, are there big butts? Are there terrible twos? Are there negative knots? Because maybe you're saying, I want to achieve this thing in my life. Maybe it's business. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it could be any number of things. What is coming after that, you know? And then just really being able to take a look at it and be like, oh, here's what I'm telling. This is the information I'm feeding to myself. And is this true? Can I reframe this? Like, what can I do with this so that it's something that actually empowers me to do the things that I want to do instead of that keeps me stuck?
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, we're capable of so much more. Like, most people are capable of so much more than they're doing, so much more than they believe they can do. And like you said earlier, like, God puts the dreams and desires into our hearts that are the things that he's got prepared for us. And so if there is, I'm not going to be like, hey, I want to be a brain surgeon either.
right.
And, you know, so it's like, there's got to be some reality to it as well. Like, but the things that you know are the things that are your, like, whoa, this is something I would really like for myself. Or with our health, we all have one body. We're each given one, and we get a choice of whether we want to take care of it or not. And that choice starts with, if we decide in our mind, I want to take care of this thing, you know, and that looks a little different for everyone. But yeah, that's kind of one of my biggest things, of just, if we want to change it, we got to first find out what it is. journaling is a great way to start off with doing that.
But it can be really uncomfortable. Because, you know, whether it's a bad relationship, bad job, right? Whatever it is, like you said, confronting things can be very scary because it's easier to sit in front of the TV or in front of the phone or whatever distraction you have in your life. It can be food, like you said, it could be anything. People are addicted to their emails. People are addicted to texting. I mean, everybody's got something, and except for you and I, of course. But it's true. You have to go past it, and it can be uncomfortable. When I wrote the musical, and I sat there a year and a half ago, and I pray and meditate all the time. That's one of my questions I want to talk to you about, silence. And during that year and a half, I met somebody, local person, local writer here. And she was sharing the system, my mindful immersive system, and the musical, because I did all, I played guitar, piano, bass, and drums. And I did the whole thing, I mean, the script and everything, and the music, soundtrack, and just sat there. So I was like, what am I supposed to do? Maybe somebody will find it after I'm dead. I don't know, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to let go, let God. Whatever you want to call it, I call it let go, let God, right? You've heard of it before. I'm like, okay, if it happens, it happens. And when I leave it up to something, a higher being, again, whatever you want to call it, Krishna, the Force, Atman, there's over 115 names that I found. Actually, in India, there's over 30 names of God. So they're all over the place. No right, no wrong. But whatever you want to call it, a cup of coffee. And you just leave it up to that universal mind. And then just leave it there. And you're humbled. You're going, you gave me this. What am I supposed to do with it? It will appear. It took a year and a half, and I did nothing. I got the podcast show going. I started speaking live about the system. I'm doing my meditation classes now. And then suddenly, like a few months ago, somebody says, like, you know what? I've been sharing this thing ever since we've been talking. I'm like, you have? And somebody in Hollywood wants to, what? Who? Me? Me? I was an engineer. What are you talking about? So can these things happen? Yes. Do they happen overnight? Sometimes. But I like enjoying the journey. The transformation there's a couple other things too, but I just came to mind with this. The joy that you see with the transformation of your customer and the joy of the transformation that you and your husband have gone through in your lives, it's not that where you get to that end, that piece of paper that you graduate or the best body in the world or the best money in the world, whatever that is, fill in the blank. It's the journey, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing to see someone go through a transformation process. And, you know, we always say, like, we have a lot of physical showing the, you know, before and afters of their bodies. But for us, we get to see how much they change on the inside too, how much their mindsets change, how many things in life they start tackling that they just didn't think that they could achieve before. Or, you know, like my husband Micah has a statement. He's like, if you hang out with me long enough, I'll brainwash you into believing in yourself.
I like
got
it.
That from somewhere. I don't think he
that's
made
fine.
That up.
That's okay.
He
I like
that
it. From I still like it.
Somewhere.
That's okay.
But and we always kind of even joke sometimes. We're like, we create monsters because people come in with no self-confidence, low self-esteem. We see this all the time where they don't value themselves. You know, and when you're not taking care of your body, that can often lead to poor choices in other areas of your life too. And so for us, it's really fun just to see someone go through that journey and see themselves differently, feel differently, and the ripple effects that it has into all the other aspects of their lives too.
Yes.
That's such a beautiful thing. But like we were talking about earlier, if they don't have that internal peace that changes, like even as amazing as that is, even like this new life that they create, is like if that default setting doesn't change, eventually, maybe it's months later, maybe it's a couple years later, it like eventually we see them start going back. So it's like, we got to get deeper. We got to get, you know, just we got to dig in there a little bit harder so that you can get to that place and stay in just a healthy place for the rest of your life.
Right.
Which is absolutely possible. And that's not a number. That's not a specific number on the scale. But it's usually a range. Like it's like usually some type of range for each person that is like, this is a healthy place. Absolutely doable. But it's just that consistency over time. And that's what I want to see more of. Because the transformation piece is so fun to see. And now, you know, even with the new things that we're stepping into in our businesses, it's because I want to see people, I want to see a higher percentage of people that are really going through this and then actually staying in that place, hopefully for the rest of their lives.
Right. And so go to their website, hitchfit.com and H-I-T-C-H. And they got pictures and they're not pictures of people that are unrealistic. They're regular people. Not everybody's got the six pack. Not everybody, but you can see the difference. And it's, you don't have to. I mean, we do Pilates twice. My wife and I do Pilates twice a week. We swim twice a week. We're not fast swimmers. And then we bike during the summer. We're not doing 50 miles. You know, we're not going fast. And I've seen more than anything with the exercise that we're doing, especially with Pilates, a huge difference. Where I'm doing these deep knee bends and my lats are back. I'm bad with the muscle names. You say I'm in the medical field, I should know. But all the different things that are involved with bending over and, you know, being hunched back or straight back. I mean, there's so many things. Now I can like bend down with my knees and straight back with my abs engaged and all that stuff that you know about. And I can stay there and I'm more comfortable doing that than I used to be bending over my back curve. There's little things. Here's something that was interesting. So she has us do like, she calls it the hundreds. So you get into these positions, you do the hundreds and whatever. Sometimes it's not 100, it's 25 or 50, but it doesn't matter. And I knew that when I started doing this at home without the machines or other things, and I just do some little stretches, I would get a little dizzy laying down on the ground. I wasn't like I was thinking, okay, maybe what's my blood pressure changing and blah, blah, blah. And she was saying, you're using different muscles in your forgive me, I don't remember, some sympathetic system or some system, you would probably understand it better than I, has to compensate for what your body's not doing. It hasn't been using those muscles in 100 years or it's never used them. So it went away. It's one of those things like if you hurt your finger and then you go, hey, you know, I forgot my fingers healed. And when I started bending down and I'd stand up, I feel a little lightheaded for a second. I'm like, okay, it's just my system getting used to it. I don't have the problem anymore. I was dizzy and falling backwards. It was just something that the way the body works, and it's just gone. And the reason why I'm saying that is there's certain things I can't do that a stretchy stuff that my wife can do. There's certain things I can do that she can't. Doesn't make you better or worse, but I've learned every day. I always put on I do a gratitude journal. You were talking about gratitude. So I do a gratitude journal every day. I just gratitude that I woke up in the morning, but gratitude. And I look at that and I think, okay, what else can I do that can be out of my habit and routine? What did you call it? My defaults. I like that word, defaults. And if I'm brushing my teeth with my right hand, maybe I do it with my left hand. If I grab this glass for water every day, maybe I grab this glass for water. If I make this glass of tea, maybe I'll make the other glass of tea. If I'm parking over here, I might park over there. One thing a day, baby steps. I mean, we forget that when we were babies, we fell 100 times. We didn't know. We didn't know how to run. We didn't know how to do a lot of stuff. You didn't give up. But as you get older, you get those file folders and they're going, got limitation. You can't do it no more. And the outside world, you, like you said earlier, you too. I'm 61. People saying, you're going to do your own business. You're going to write up music. You can't. Not everybody, but there was enough. I'm like, great. You know, I ain't talking to you anymore. Keep the negative people out of your life. How important is it to have some kind of form of, I call it meditation, but silence in your life?
I think it's extremely important. I mean, for me, like I'm a hard introvert. Anyway, like as far as that's where I refill and that's where I recharge is, you know, for me, it's silence. I spend time with the Lord every day. I have a devotional time every day. That's just me and the Lord. It's like I'm talking to him and he's talking to me.
Right.
And so that's an extremely important part of my personal foundation. That's I can't imagine people. I see people that don't have that grounding, that rock, and there's so much going on in our world that can cause us chaos, but when you have that firm foundation, it's a game changer for your life. And so for me, it's like I feel like the only reason I'm even able to handle the capacity or the ability to pour into as many people as come into my life that I know I'm supposed to pour into them. The only way I can do that is if I'm filled up myself. And so I can only do that from a place of overflow to be able to pour into others and give them something they need. So in order for me to do that, I have to stay in that grounded place. I have to have my firm foundation. And that is in that time of silence. Like, I literally, like, it's my favorite thing to do is literally just sit with complete silence and just as much as I need on days when I don't have a, like, have to be somewhere. Days I do, maybe that's 15 minutes. Days I don't, it may be a couple of hours if there's a day that I actually can spend that time, because it's like, it's so important. It's so critical. We run around with all this noise in our lives, and it's like, man, that time is, it's a game changer.
Yeah.
Truly.
It's important for people to just, my favorite button on my phone is the airplane mode. Nobody's going to have a spiritual emergency. Now, when I was in the medical field, it was different. I was on call. I had to do it CT scanners, X-ray machines. This thing's down. It's not diagnosing patients. That's a whole different ballgame. And I don't work in that field no more. And in most fields, my wife's an actuary. When we got married, I was in the field and did all this shit. Because I don't think anybody's having an actuary emergency. So, you know, you need to, you know, I love how you tell us. You got a spiritual time with the Lord. And you got time to talk. And you ask questions, because in this, I always ask, you know, what am I supposed to learn from this spiritually guided detour? I don't say it's an accident. I don't say it's a mistake. I don't say, to me, I tone it down. I just say spiritually guided detour. I got to get something out of this. What did I cause to have this happen? I didn't, you know, so I said, well, I didn't cause all those restaurants to make me go in and get that sandwich. You don't have a computer chip in your brain. You chose that. But it's very hard, because then when you start experiencing that, whether it's food, whatever we're talking about, it is for everybody a little different. You don't want to go down that road, because maybe it was this and this that caused it, but then you want to go back into it again. But that feeling when I'm praying and meditating, and I do it several times, and it's funny you mention that, because when I have days that there's nothing going on, or by coincidence there's not a lot or anything going on, I'll check my email, do a little work, and then I just stop. I'll watch some positive videos, I'll turn on some music, and I never turn on my own music. It's not, I can't turn on my own music. That, I got too many things in my head that I'm listening to what I did. So I'm turning out somebody else's music. I had a lot of shamanic type music. And so that's good for me. You can, somebody said they meditate to AC/DC, whatever works for you. But having that time is just so important, and turning everything on airplane mode, disconnecting the darn phone. If you have a landline or whatever, just stop. There's nothing that's not going to happen. And everything goes by so fast. And that you were mentioning about all the outside noise. Outside noise has been around for over 2,000 years. Name one time, go through the Bible, go through anything in the past, that power and control hasn't existed. And then we always say, when we're gone, the next generation is going to go, it's the worst time ever. The next generation, the worst time ever. Everybody always thinks it's the worst time ever. But you know what? Don't be that outside. And if you get in touch with whatever its belief system for you inside your heart, in your soul knowledge, your purpose, your soul, now, serendipities, accidents, all that stuff that the audience knows very much well about. I talk about it all the time. And that's why you're on this, because you're offering a consciously communicating way to make yourself better. And you said, unless it starts in the mind, it's not going to work. You take the mind out, like Spock did. Oh, I'm nerding out. Like Spock did in Star Trek. You take the mind out of the body. It's just a mechanical thing, right? You've got to be able to have something to connect you within that. We talked about a faith-spirit connection. I want to talk about your book. But I also, if we have time, want to also talk about the Soul Fit Retreat. But let's talk about business of your body. And there was ... added on stuff to it. But I wanted you to go over it. Talk about your business of your body.
So this was something that, a concept that came to me probably 8 or 9 years ago. So I got into this business group in Kansas City. It's an all-women's group. It's like you have to be nominated. And then it's like a whole process of getting in, but it's like incredible business women. And I mean, like ballers, like, you know, high level entrepreneurs, CEOs, executives, like just these women doing like incredible things. So I was so honored to be a part of this group and just fantastic women. And so I started working a lot more with women from that group and then from others. Like as we've gotten older, like we just have attracted a different type of clientele. So I've had the opportunity to work with so many business people and Micah, my husband too. And I just started seeing this common theme happening. It's like so disciplined with their businesses, so intentional, so showing up for, you know, showing up to do the work even on the days that they didn't feel like it. So consistent, so persistent to make this business or whatever this was successful. And in the meantime, completely neglecting their physical health. and not putting that correlation between if you switch that, you've got all this drive for your business, but if you would switch it and take care of your physical health first, first off, you're going to be have more energy, you're going to be more productive, you're going to have less risk of disease, you're going to have a way better tool for stress and anxiety management. It's going to be way better for your relationships with your spouse, with your children, with your employees, how you handle things. Like the repercussions of not taking care of your physical health and being sluggish and low energy and anxious and depressed and stressed and all. It's like, please, can we flip-flop this so that we put this first?
Right.
Because you're going to actually have way more success over on this business side if you put this first. And it's this reverse. I mean, I've seen it across the board of like, go, 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 stress yourself out.
Right.
Be undisciplined with the habits. And then my body, my mind is sluggish. Then I can't do anything physically, which translates over into everything else. So I was like, how can I help you see? Like, we got to flip this. I know you want to be successful here. If you want to be successful here, you got to put this first.
That's
and
right.
I'm not just saying that because I've seen it. It's like, you like, look at studies. I mean, it's like, you can see, it's like, it's not just poof. Like, this is hypothetical.
No.
Proven over and over and over again, you're going to have greater success. Even financially, like women, I feel like it's in the book. I feel like it's like almost 12% on the financial side. Women that that exercise at least 3 days of the week on average earn 12% more income than women who don't. For men, I think it's about a 6% difference. So it's like literally even in finance.
That's a huge percentage.
It's huge. And it makes sense when you have more energy, when you have more confidence, when you have more capability, we have more ideas because your mind is clear. Like, there's just so many things. And then we can talk about the health, just your health in general. So that was where this whole thing came from. And for years, I pulled from my journals to write this book because it was for years, like I would see something and I would think of it and then I'd write it out and be like, man, what about this? And then I was actually almost going to complete this book before COVID. And I'm so glad I didn't, because then through COVID, all of this other stuff, I was like, whoa, like there's all of these other things. So like, just gave me so many more ideas of, you know, are we treating our body as essential or non-essential? Like, is your body an essential business or is it non-essential? So that was really the foundation of all of it. And now that the book is out, it's really geared towards, it's the all the dot, dot, dots. It's the burnt out, stressed out, nonstop, busy business professional's guide to being the CEO of their health and fitness. So it's a lot of words, but then if you read that, you know exactly, like,
absolutely,
you know exactly who I'm talking to.
Exactly.
So that's kind of, I'm on a mission for that population specifically, you know, not just the women, but men too, of just helping them realize they have all of the traits. If you're successful in your business, that means you understand discipline. It means you understand persistence. It means you understand consistency. It means you understand showing up and doing the work even when you don't feel like it. So you already get it.
Right.
Like, you're literally not going to be successful in your business if you don't understand those four things. Your business will be bankrupt, out of business.
Right.
You're not going to be successful, or you're going to lose your job or whatever.
Right.
So it's not that you don't understand what those are.
Right.
But if you apply them to your physical body and treat your body like a business,
I love that. I love that. I'm going to get a bumper sticker. We should register, trademark that. but it's so true. You've heard this before. Health for wealth, wealth for health. How many people have died with millions of dollars and they're empty inside? You know, I found out a long time ago that, you know, one of my managers, when I first was an engineer at this last company, that was my longest part of my career, over 25 years. They said, if you're working more than 40 hours, actually, if you're working about 40 hours, we need to sit down and find out what you're doing wrong. You don't have to do that. You don't have to work 60 to 80. So if you have a goal to meet $10 million, whatever that goal is, I'll just throw out money because everybody can relate to that. You want to move from $5 to $10 million. I know people personally, I've interviewed them, at least two. They almost died. They were in the hospital. Two people. It was on two of my shows. There's another person I'm talking to in a few weeks. Wonderful woman. Wonderful woman. Almost died. And she stopped. I was like, this is crazy. What am I doing? And it's this go, 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 go. So instead of maybe making 5 million, maybe you make 5.1. Maybe you just simply make 5 million and call it a day. Maybe whatever. I'm just throwing out a number. Or maybe you don't get that house, and instead of that getting that house or whatever that thing is you want to get in the physical world, maybe it takes you 5 years instead of 3 years. And I, just a little note, unless you know something different, I don't think we can take any of this stuff with us. So since we can't, let's focus on the most important thing, our minds, the most powerful thing, our minds. We've created such amazing things in our lives. I was just talking to somebody who had spinal surgery, and they don't cut you open anymore. They put the needle in with the camera. So there's a lot of good things for technology. There's a lot of things that really stink. When I first got in the medical field out of college, it took me about 4 months to install a CAT scanner because it had the cables and then the magnetic fields and the lights. And then it now takes less than 4 days because you plug and play. So this is great diagnosis. Before, you know, you used to have an x-ray. You had to go into the x-ray room. You had to develop the film. I went to Kodak training. I'm an old guy, but I loved it. You know, you dip the things in the chemical. Now it's all digital. In 2 seconds, boom, 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 boom. You know, you can do an entire body scan with or without contrast in about 2 minutes. And you know exactly what's going on. It used to take hours for that stuff, the images to crunch through the computer systems, the microprocessors and all that. I'm not going to completely nerd out on you, but it was just like all these things. So it's okay. There's a time and place for everything. Give yourself time to meditate. Give yourself time to silence. Give yourself time to just move away from the, I hate the word stress, because it's like you don't have a job going, I'm an engineer in the medical field, I'm a manager, stress. It's just a word. Don't use it. Don't use it for that connotation. I wanted to talk about your Soul Fit retreats. I think I got on the right website. They look really cool. Could you tell us about them and how long you've been doing that now?
So it's a fairly new business. We've really only been for the last maybe year and a half that Soul Fit has been born. And again, it's kind of stepping. So we did our very first conference in Tampa. So it's conferences and retreats. So the conference was, that was a whole beast of itself. Like that was my first conference. So, but it was beautiful. It came out, it was incredible. It was super impactful. And then the retreats we take groups of people, we're going to Mexico in May, and then we'll have an adventure retreat, and we're just kind of growing it again. It's just for everything that I do. It's like, Lord, where do you want me to take this? And so it's just, I would just say it's surrendered.
Yes.
And so we just let him take the wheel. And
I love it.
And it's always more beautiful that way. But yes. The whole point of it is really like we have worked with people so much on the physical side for the last 15 years with Pitch Fit. And with Soul Fit, just as it sounds, it's like it's part of that process of like we want to dig deeper with people and we want to really help people get to those root things of that they need to change. And the conference that we did, it was called Lean In, Level Up. And the whole point, all of my speakers, it was, and their faith and fitness. I think that those are our wrecking ball tools for pretty much everything that we need to overcome in life is faith first. And then fitness, taking care of everything is next. And so all of everything that we tackled, you know, fitness, addiction, abuse and trauma, grief. So I had speakers in each of these areas that were pouring into the people that were there. But it was like, instead of running away from the pain, the trauma, the challenge, the fear, whatever it is that you're, you know, is holding you back from this next level that you could be living in, like, let's lean into it. Yeah, it's probably going to be painful, you know, there's going to be some type of pain involved, whether that's mental, emotional, I don't know, physical, if you're working out.
Right.
But let's lean into it. Let's break through those things so that that's how we can level up. So the conference situation is where speakers get to pour into the people. The retreat situation is where we get to dig even deeper because we just have these settings. We're in a beautiful place. We work out together, but we create safe spaces. This is my new thing is I'm like, what is it that we're doing? And we're creating safe spaces where love thrives and where wounds are healed.
Ooh.
And so it's places where they get to share instead of speakers, instead of us like talking to them, we create spaces where I want to hear your story. I want to hear the deep stuff and then know that you have a community of people here that are ready, that are willing to hear you, see you, empower you, encourage you, help you to push through this so that we can literally get through to these next levels. So that's really the whole concept. It's been incredible. So far, and just to see people feel like, for me, it's like when people are opening up, which just happens, it's incredible. Like to know that we actually did what we wanted to do, which was create that safe space where they were like, here's my stuff. I'm struggling with addiction. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling. Mm-hmm. We're just like, let's do it. Let's talk about it. Let's go. Let's get in there and let's figure out, you know, I even had a mental health team at a conference too, because I'm not like, there's some of the stuff that's going to come up that's going to be more than what I can deal with too.
Right.
And may need even more support and help. But it's just like, let's just get in there and let's just do the work so that we can actually get past these things that are holding us back and literally have just higher breakthrough. So
I love it.
We're going to see. We'll see where it goes. But it's been pretty incredible so far.
I think when you leave it up to let go, let God, when you leave it up to the higher power, the universal mind, again, whatever you want to call it, it opens up opportunities. If you're not sitting there going, oh my God, what's going to happen? 99% of the stuff we worry about, like my mom used to say, 99.9% of the stuff you worry about never happens, or it doesn't even come close to what you think it's going to look like. And I love that idea of just letting the Lord do it. Let God do it. Because again, I go back to what we talked about at the beginning. If you didn't get these images in your mind, whether it was you or your husband or whatever you guys are talking about, how these creation in the middle, I hate this because sometimes things come in the middle of the night and you're like, my wife got a pen and paper, but I try to, because you know, you think you're going to remember them. Never happens. And because that's when I believe you get the closest to the spirits and angels, to God, while you're sleeping. That's when you get in a positive mood and a positive prayer and meditation, and you pray and going, okay, God, just give me this. I'm open. And you just, and there's no judgment or anything. Like with the musical, I'm like, all right, it took me 6 months. It poured out of me like it was happening. Like it's been sitting in there forever. Now what do? I don't know anybody. So I just prayed and I said, I either got to know somebody or know somebody that knows somebody on the other side. Because every business like that, right? You know, and suddenly I'm like, the door's kicked open. I was like, the person in Hollywood wants to talk to you. Like I said earlier, I'm like, me? And she's like, oh, I love what you're doing. This is the best time for this. It's called Ajahnoy Musical Philosophy. This is what the world needs to hear. It's something I'm like, and it's all going, by the way, everything, this one person out of millions of people said, I believe the same way you're referring to with the soul knowledge and the spirituality. And I sent her all this material about the whole immersive system and then the musical, the soundtrack. She goes, I love it. What can I do to, you know, I mean, I'm paying her, but she's like, I want to be on this project. And I'm like, what? And it's like, you know, so it just, you just let it happen. And if you let it happen and you know, it's a feeling that you can't describe. It's something, I had my second meditation class this week, and when I left, I go, God, it's my second one. I'm leaving it up to you. I got some notes, but I'm letting you do it. And I had the music going. I had a beautiful like ocean in the background on the screen. I got the color spectrum of lights, and I'm getting in it. I'm just literally not even there. And by the time it was done, I had one woman come up to me, say, because I said, ask yourself why you're here. Don't ask me. What are you supposed to get? You're looking for something. And it was a mother that brought two kids too. And they enjoyed it. I don't know how much they got, but they understood it. And we talked about the mind and spirituality. And she goes, I was wondering why I came here. And you were asking about what the purpose was. It was you, because I was a mess when I came in here. Cause I was saying, you know, I just want you to call and kind of go that little noise a little bit less. And she goes, you just made my evening a little less. I'm getting chills thinking about it. And I'm like, wow, thank you very much. She goes, when's your class? Is it every month? I go, it is now. It just started this year. And then the class before I had, I just talked about bits and pieces about the system, about the philosophy. And three people came up to me afterward and shared stuff with me. I'm like, when you see things, when you know that you're making a difference, it transcends. You could give me $1 million and that excitement wears off in about a minute. But when you get something that you know you can lay down in your head and you can empower others to empower themselves, see those transformations. That's what Diana and her husband do for a living. Go to the website, get her book. It's a long title, but get her book and talk with her. I'm sure you get on the phone and probably talk with them and see what you can do. There's the opportunity. People that are coming on the Conscious Communication Podcast show are people that can make a difference in your life. This is not about selling stuff. This is about empowering others, because there's so many good people out there. There's so many people that believe in the spirit and the angels and the universal mind. And that's what people I'm attracting on the show. Almost pretty much every person I talk to, there's something going on there. And I didn't talk to Diana. I don't want to talk to anybody before the show. I only take about the first 20 minutes before I get on. The 20 minutes before the show starts, I start prepping. I don't want to do a lot of research. I don't want to know. Because God's going to let me, God's guiding the way. I'm just an empty tube. Let me tell the world what it is and let you come out and tell the world what it is and make a difference with everything that we're doing. Diana, I want to thank you for being on the show today. It's been an absolute pleasure. But before we go, you've left a lot of gems, but what kind of positive aphorism can you say? Something to leave the audience with going, ooh. And it doesn't have to be a big sentence. It could be, you could repeat something. Something that you can leave that they can image in their head and going, I like that.
Well, let's see. One thing I like to conclude with is just take a look at the path that you're on in your life and take a look at where that path is leading. You know, and nowadays it's not rocket science to figure out where a path leads in life because there's a lot of people that have gone before us. So I just say, take a look at the path you're leading. If it leads you to the place that you want to be, and if it leads you to a great place where you're healthy, where you're joyful, then great, stay on that path. But if you take a look at that path and it leads you to a place that you're like, that's not where I want to be, then get on a different path. Just get on a different path.
Yeah. And don't worry about it. The scary part or the uncomfortable part, once you get past it, it's so minute. And once you just get past that and the rest of your life transforms, like Diana's saying, that little minute little incident, it's like nothing. But just give yourself some time. That is amazing. I know we're going to end this, but one of the things you did say about acknowledging yourself, it's very difficult for people to say, you know, great job. I didn't do anything. Nobody likes a compliment. It's a compliment not to make you feel better, but to realize for yourself, you have the power inside you to do anything you want. And don't listen to the outside world. Diana, again, thank you very much for being on the show. It's been wonderful talking to you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And remember, it is more important to express your thinking thoughts. So we've been talking about that, right? And not the blah, 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 blah thoughts you are thinking. That is what is called conscious communication. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Communication. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and recommend on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcast. You can also get more great information at ConsciousCommunicationPodcast.com.